Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As far as your movement and all that, Dan said he wants to see how you move and all that. When did you feel like you were back to yourself moving the way you want to move?
I mean, if you let me talk, I would have wanted to play 2 weeks ago, but I guess in their eyes, probably this past weekend, is when I started to feel like myself.
Can only imagine dealing with him over the last 2 weeks. With him wanting to be on the field and the doctors saying, not quite yet. He's going to play Sunday, I would certainly guess, unless there's a medical setback of some sort today or tomorrow. You know, they're practicing in L.A. tomorrow. They're heading out there early, and they'll hold their last practice of the week in Los Angeles. But even though Quinn yesterday didn't commit to Jaden being the starting quarterback or playing on Sunday, the fact that he was a full go yesterday is pretty much an indication that he will be the starting quarterback Sunday against the Chargers. Who will he have out on the floor with him? That will be on the floor. I was thinking in basketball terms. Who will he have with him on the field on Sunday? The injury report got pretty dicey yesterday when they put it out, including players that were surprises on it. I'll get to that in a moment. Max is here with me. We've got a guest at 10:20. Alex Insdorf covers the Chargers. He'll jump on with us at 10:20. Denton will join us at 10:40 in his normal spot to talk college football. Maryland with a big game Saturday at home against Washington. Many, many years ago, they played Washington in the Aloha Bowl. I think that was their last meeting with the Huskies. And they get them in their first ever Big Ten matchup in College Park. And it's a big one. Terps could get to 5-0 on the season. And if they win this game, they will be close to being a ranked team next week. Big day for them. We'll talk about some of the other big games of the day as well. Charch will join us on the show. You'll also hear, I'm telling you, Steve Suter is really good at this film breakdown. He's been doing it on my podcast every Wednesday. He did his third game yesterday on the show. I'm going to play some of it for you. He's just a tad concerned about the defense, as we all are. But he tried to sort of discuss how much of it he thinks is scheme, coaching versus personnel. So you'll hear that on the show today as well. So, yeah, the injury situation, when they put out the injury report yesterday on it, surprisingly, Deebo Samuel, a heel injury, did not practice. Mike Sanders still, knee injury, did not practice. Now, there were guys being held out for rest, like Zach Ertz, that happens with him, Von Miller, some of the older players, Laremy Tunsil. John Bates was a full go. But can you imagine if they go out on Sunday against the Chargers without Terry, who was a DNP yesterday? And I'll read something here shortly from Dan Graziano that would indicate that Terry probably is going to be out on Sunday. But what if they go out there without Noah Brown, Terry McLaurin, and Deebo Samuel? Five will have to put on the cape if they're going to win the game. By the way, even with all of these injuries, the Chargers remain just a mere 2.5-point favorite Sunday against Washington. That line just kind of reeks a bit. Nobody will have our team Sunday except yours truly. By the way, no smell test pick on the game tonight. The 49ers, I mean, the injuries. Purdy's not playing tonight. They just have, once again, been absolutely terrorized here in the season with injuries. They're a 3-1 football team at SoFi tonight to play the Rams. The Rams are now an 8.5-point favorite. No smell test pick in the game. I'd lean Niners plus the points, but tough to take them with all the injuries that they have. Also, big baseball triple header today. The most win or go home games in a playoff day since 1981, and that's when there was a strike that year and they expanded the playoff format, and they had three. It was first round game fives, deciding game fives in the same day. Today we get Detroit Cleveland game three at 3 o'clock, San Diego Chicago at 5, and Red Sox Yankees. That game was insane. The two games that the Red Sox and Yankees have played in this series have been outstanding. The Yankees had the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth of game one, down 3-1, and could not get even one run in against Chapman. And then last night, the Yankees go ahead in the bottom of the eighth after, in the seventh inning, Trevor Story up with the bases loaded and hit one to the warning track that could have been a grand slam. It was a phenomenal baseball game, as were the others yesterday. Today's one of those days, man. I actually will sit and I will watch all of these deciding game threes. And then Saturday, Ohtani's pitching game one against the Phillies in that series, in that best of five National League Division Series. Ohtani's last outing, 6 innings, 1 hit, 8 strikeouts against Arizona. And his last outing against the Phillies, he went 5 innings and did not allow a hit in 5 innings, and was pulled after that game. So Shohei Ohtani will pitch game one Saturday against Philly. I'm assuming that that's going to be the night game, that game will be played in prime time rather than during the day. Although if the Yankees win and you get Yankees Blue Jays game one, that might be in prime time as well. But the baseball has been phenomenal. So I pulled this yesterday from ESPN.com's NFL Weekly column, where Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler, and a couple of others basically tell you everything they're hearing around the league. It's actually a really good weekly column. You know, you get some of these NFL guys that do really have, you know, some pretty good information. This week it's Fowler and Graziano kind of emptying their, you know, notebooks to talk about the things that they are hearing around the league. And Graziano covered Washington, Atlanta for ESPN on Sunday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And he had a lot, actually, from that game. He had the following. He said that Jaden wasn't cleared, but was almost cleared to play in Atlanta. But the team doctors made the decision that it was best to hold him out for one more game. And then he said, keep an eye on whether he logs any full practices this week. If he does, that's a good indication that he's a go on Sunday. Well, he's already logged one full practice. He also wrote about Terry. He said it sounded like he could need another week or two to heal from his quad injury, but the Commanders will know more as the practice week goes along. So I think we had a sense that this could be more than 1 week, you know, with all the doctors that he was searching out and the hernia specialist, the sports hernia specialist that he sought out. We learned that surgery wasn't required, but, you know, when you hear surgery not required, you're not thinking he's going to be back on Sunday. So it sounds like Graziano heard from the team that at least another week. So he missed practice yesterday. So the idea that Terry's going to be back in time for the Chargers game seems now like a super long shot. But then he also had this little tidbit about the running back situation. Obviously talking to, you know, people from the team. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. Sometimes the national guys get a little bit more. Sometimes the game announcers get a little bit more than you get in the, you know, in the pressers. But he said that currently they, meaning Washington, they're very happy at the moment using a committee of running backs with Chris Rodriguez, Jeremy McNichols, and rookie Jacory Kroski-Merritt. But they do view Kroski-Merritt as the most capable one of the three to emerge as an all-around threat out of the backfield. As he gains more experience, I would expect his role to increase. If you have him on your fantasy roster, I'd hold on because there's a chance he could be the lead back there over the second half of the season. I'm not calling this like a huge reveal. I think we've all felt like if there is a back that emerges as more of the lead back rather than a committee, he's got a really good chance to be that back. I mean, I think Rodriguez is solid too. Like if it ended up being Rodriguez, it ended up getting 14 carries instead of 7, you know, or 16 carries, and the other guy got 4 or 5, I'd be okay with that. I think it's going to be Kroski-Merritt if that ends up happening. Their running back situation after the trade of Brian Robinson Jr., it's certainly not any worse. Now, losing Eckler was a big deal. And you can say, well, he didn't play that well against Green Bay. He played fine against Green Bay. Nobody played well, you know, in that game. So by comparison, he was fine. They're going to miss Eckler. Eckler was a weapon for them last year. And by the way, completely, completely reliable to do everything that they wanted him to do. But their running back room right now is okay. You know, I think they've got two, I don't want to say exceptional runners, but I think very good runners in Rodriguez and Kroski-Merritt. I think their big play ability, it's already been proven with the 48-yard run by Rodriguez. And we've seen, you know, a 22-yard run from Kroski-Merritt. I think the big play potential is greater than it was. And let's not act like Brian Robinson Jr. never broke a run. He did. He had a 40-yard touchdown run in the game against Tennessee, I think. Or was it Carolina? I forget. One of those games last year. But I think their big play potential with both of those backs is greater than it's been. I think their between the tackles vision and getting yards when maybe there aren't yards there is actually as good, if not better. I think they've got versatile guys. We have not seen Rodriguez that much as a pass catcher, but I think Kroski-Merritt looks like he absolutely can be a pass receiver out of the backfield. We know McNichols can be. I'm excluding McNichols from this conversation, and I shouldn't be, because they actually trust him more than any of the others. But in terms of like a true, you know, bell cow at that position, I think they're in better shape than they were with Brian Robinson Jr. I mean, I know that all of you bought into Kroski-Merritt right from the jump. I didn't, because he was a seventh-round pick, and seventh-round picks never, ever end up being contributors in the NFL. There's a history of it, and I went through it all the time. But the first time we saw him in the preseason, it was like, yeah, this guy can – he's got good feel, good vision, you know, good cut ability, good speed. And now that we've seen him in the regular season, I like him. I like him a lot. Call me late to the table. I just was a bit hesitant to you know, crown him as the next Emmett Smith or Walter Payton because of training camp. But I do like him, and I think he's got to get more carries. Talked about this the other day. Rodriguez as well. whoever it ends up being. I mean, right now, Kroski Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, I had somebody email me the other day saying it's kind of uncomfortable, this whole Bill thing. It's a bit cumbersome. You know, is it Bill? Is it Bill Kroski Merritt? Is it Ja'Cory? And it's not Ja'Cory. We know that. We know it's not Ja'Cory. I think maybe just calling him Kroski Merritt is the way to go here. Kroski Merritt, 29 carries, 172 yards, 5.9 yards per carry. All right, two touchdowns. Has a 42-yard run to his credit. He's also rushed for 11 first downs. And then 11 carries less is Chris Rodriguez for 98 yards, 5.4 yards per carry, has a 48-yard run to his credit, and has rushed for two first downs. He's had 11 fewer carries than Kroski Merritt. I'm sorry, but at some point, the pass protection thing, hey, you know, take him out maybe on passing downs, but on running downs, have him in the game. And if it gets too predictable, take your chances occasionally going play action. Play action tends to be protective anyway on first and 10. But I want to see more carries for, you know, one or both of them. 29 through four games for a guy averaging nearly 6 yards a carry is not enough. See if that changes this Sunday. The Chargers are pretty good defensively. The Chargers are very banged up offensively. All right. We are going to get a guest on here early in the show. We're going to find out what the Chargers really are going to be on Sunday when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.